Hi all, thanks for coming. I know it's been a long con. Has everybody been having a good time so far? Good, good. Glad to. I've been having a great time too, and that's why I look so tired right now. But so just a little bit more to go. Scott, can we? Oh, you're heading to do the lights. Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about Wikipedia. I am. My day job is I'm a game developer. I make online multiplayer games, and I also have a lot of other hobbies, such as cryptography, and I gave a talk here on famous unsolved codes. I also gave a talk on the fact and fiction of the Knights Templar. So I have lots and lots of different subculture interests, and one of those interests is Wikipedia, which is really an amazing subculture and community that has been growing since 2001. I assume everyone here has heard of Wikipedia, but I'll be going into a little bit more about the structure of the site, the structure of the community behind it, and also because I'm a game developer, I'm going to be talking a bit about how the community behind Wikipedia is very similar to the community behind a massively multiplayer online game, including both the good things about it and the bad things about it. So, I think I just told you all that. Okay. Oh, I'll also be giving some advice to people that want to participate on Wikipedia. How many people here are already Wikipedia editors? You've ever made a change of any kind to Wikipedia? Okay. All right, good. Feel free to come on up and you know, chat or share Wiki War stories, or if you see me say something that you think is wrong, feel free to shout out, no, it's not like that, it changed since yesterday, because that's a common thing on Wikipedia. I'll also be giving advice. Does anyone here have a biography about them on Wikipedia? Don't want to admit it. Okay. If you know anyone like that, I'll also be giving a little bit of advice for those. So Wikipedia, this is the main page of Wikipedia, and this gets per day about 10 to 12 million visits per day. And at the there will be a section here which is today's featured article. And articles, it's like a quest. If you're working on an article, you can get it up to what's called featured status. And it's a long process. Generally takes months to do this. But if you do this, then there's a chance that that article will be chosen to be the day's featured article. When this happens, you get a flood of people that come to the article and immediately want to change it. And vandalism goes up by a factor of about 100. Some people have described having and you've worked on this article for months. You know every word of it by heart, and then you see all these vandals come pouring into it. So some people have described having an article of yours on the main page as sort of like standing in front of a staple gun. And some people say, well, we have the option to protect articles and to keep anyone from editing it. Why don't we do that when an article's on the main page? And the community says, no, Wikipedia is the article that anyone can edit, which means that if an article's there, it has to be editable, even if it's the Wikipedia that even idiots can edit. So also on the main page here, we have something on the news, which gets updated probably not as often as it should be. We have a thing about on this day, and so this was done on July 10th, and great things that happened, and then links to those articles. And did you know? The DYK section is also a big part of the community. Anyone who writes an article, you have an option of getting it nominated for DYK if it's a new article. If it's a brand new article within 48 hours or it's been greatly expanded, you can go there, and it'll just show up there for about 6 hours, and then that gets rotated through. And some people will banner on their user pages, I have, you know, 10 DYKs or 20 DYKs. So Wikipedia, it's a freely licensed encyclopedia. There are thousands of volunteers, millions of volunteers that come in. It's over 250 languages. Articles that are in different languages, each article is not an exact translation of the other articles. So the article on, say, the Statue of Liberty in English might be completely different than the article on the Statue of Liberty in French or Persian or Thai or Chinese or Japanese. But the project did start in 2001. Wikipedia is one of the 10 most visited sites in the world. Each day, a third of the internet users go to Wikipedia at some point during that day. One third of all internet users have consulted Wikipedia on any given day. 8% of the internet goes to Wikipedia. I checked the stats earlier this morning, and there's so far registered accounts, editors on Wikipedia. We have over 7.7 million. In the English version, we've passed the 2.5 million article mark with versions in over 250 languages, and in all versions, we have over 10 million articles. This is the growth curve. This is as of 2006. I haven't been able to get active stats because volunteers will come in and we'll put together these statistics. So if we have a volunteer who makes these really cool graphs and then that volunteer goes away and then we don't get the cool updated graphs anymore. But this volunteer did some cool graphs, so I'm posting them in the slide. This is as of January 2008 showing the growth curve of articles. There's also this cool site, stats.grok.se, where you can type in any article name and it'll show you what the stats are for that particular article. So this is for an article that I got to featured status called Knights Templar. The numbers are kind of hard to see, but you can see that it's getting about 5,000 to 6,000 visits each day. And that's a great way of getting feedback. Wikipedia is only one of several projects that are run by the nonprofit Wikimedia Foundation. There's often confusion between Wikipedia, Wikimedia, and MediaWiki. MediaWiki is the name of the software package. It's the engine that runs Wikipedia, and it's also free. Anyone who wants to create a wiki and has the technical chops to do it can grab a copy of MediaWiki and then run your own wiki. So Wikimedia Foundation also has things like WikiQuote with quotes on things. The Wikimedia Commons down here is probably the next most commonly used, where people can upload freely available images. And then once an image is on the Commons, it can be used in any of the other Wikimedia projects. The foundation is fairly small. Last I checked, it had about 12 paid employees. Their main office right now is in Northern California. The revenue is fairly small. They're running this entire thing on a very, very relatively small budget. I think they're up to maybe $3 or $4 million right now. The funding comes from donations, grants, sponsorships. They also license the entire database every so often to other sites that want to provide it with advertising. So Wikipedia does not provide ads, but they do license the content to other sites that use ads. That's why it's so important that everything on Wikipedia is freely available. Even images have to be licensed with a non-commercial license because of that licensing. So contributors, I said there's over like 7 million contributors. Not all of those people are the most active contributors. It follows kind of like the 80-20 or I'd say even 90-10 rule, that the majority of the content on Wikipedia is made by a very small percentage of the editors. And we count how active someone is by the number of edits they do, and that's a source of pride. Someone can say, I'm up to 1,000 edits, or I have over 10,000 edits, or I do. Someone who does only 10 edits a month is going to be considered a very, very infrequent user. A typical active member of the community is probably going to have at least 500 to 1,000 edits per month and be maintaining those on a regular basis. Now, the pages that are being added to Wikipedia per day, we get about 2,000 articles added per day that stick. There are many, many articles that are added that just get deleted on site. So I ran some statistics and showed that within a 24-hour period, there were, I think there was about 8,000 pages that were added and about 6,000 were deleted on site. And that's because people will go in and they'll be trying to create an article about their dog or their favorite hamburger or their used car lot. And so we have teams of volunteers that do nothing but scan these new articles that are flowing into the project and just hitting delete, 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 delete. It gets almost to a kind of a Charlie Chaplin kind of thing where you just keep pushing the button. And so every so often someone will create a good article that's kind of borderline, and rather than getting good feedback and saying, okay, this article could be better, it just gets caught by one of the volunteers and it just gets, boom, deleted. So if you see that, if you try to create something and it gets deleted on site, don't take it personally. Just realize that the person who did it might have been, you know, deleting 2,000 other things that day, and they weren't thinking entirely clearly. Also, there's an illusion people have when they come to Wikipedia is that all the main editors are trained academics who have taken degrees on how to create an encyclopedia, and they're thoughtful, responsible individuals. No. The most of the volunteers on Wikipedia are, I mean, there's a lot of kids that come in. There's children that edit Wikipedia on a regular basis. They enjoy the power of being able to tag things for deletion. I would say the majority of the editors on Wikipedia are probably college students. But there are definitely some academics, there are professionals, I've seen attorneys that come in and want to help, especially with the legal issues. It's just this massive volunteer community, but it's very ad hoc. You never know exactly who you're going to be talking to. And some people will lie and say they have certain qualifications that they don't. There was a big scandal a year or two ago about an editor named SJ who put on his user page that he was a degreed academic and he had multiple PhDs, and he told his students to use Wikipedia, and he would argue about content in certain articles and say, oh, yes, I use that in my class all the time. Turns out, no. He's a guy. He's a college dropout living in eastern United States, and he was just saying that he had degrees. So you really have to take this stuff with a grain of salt. These are some statistics I did in about a year ago showing how many pages were being added by namespace. So some pages are going in what's called the article space. Some are the discussion pages, the article talk pages. I won't go through this whole list in detail, but just showing that the one of the most common increase per day is user talk pages. And I think that the reason that number is so high is because people will be coming in and vandalizing, and then they'll immediately get a warning saying don't do that. And so that means that the talk page was created on that day. Article talk pages, image talk pages. Many articles are deleted on site, but many others that are borderline go through what's called a community discussion. It's called an AFD, article for deletion. And there are hundreds of these going on each day, and people will weigh in and they'll say, delete, keep, give a comment. And then after about 5 to 7 days, usually an administrator will go in and will kind of read the discussion and try to get an idea of the consensus of the community. It's not a majority vote. So if a bunch of people that are just, somebody can't just go in and create 20 accounts and then go in and vote keep on all these accounts to try to get an article kept, because it's a commonly used tactic, and these accounts are very quickly labeled as what's called a SPA, S-P-A, single purpose account. It's very easy for an experienced Wikipedian to go in and look at the contribution history of this account and see, look, this account has no edits, was created yesterday, and the first thing they did is they went to this AFD and voted keep. Well, any administrator who sees that is just going to say, okay, it's a SPA, and they're going to discount it. So it's not a majority vote. It's really trying to get a sense of what the community consensus is. And that word consensus gets used over and over and over again throughout Wikipedia, because there's no authority that's going to come in and say the article should be this way or the article should be that way. It's always kind of community discussions, and that was a decision by one of the founders, Jimbo Wales. Parts of a Wikipedia page, so we have the article here, and then there's these tabs at the top of it, article, discussion, edit this page, that's something special, zero, the history, move, and watch. So the most common things that you're probably going to be using are going to be over here on the left. The article tab is the actual article. You can also click on the discussion tab, and then it goes to a place where Wikipedians can discuss what's going on with that article. If you see a problem in page, anybody can click edit this page and just go in the edit page. You don't even have an account. You can just go in anonymously. If you see a typo, you want to change something, you want to add something, just click on edit, go on in there. If you want to, there's a very simple markup. Like if you put quotes, triple quotes on either side of something, it bolds it. If you put double quotes on either side of something, it italicizes. There's help pages on all this. If you want to link to another article, then you put these double square brackets on either side of it. This is a kind of just a quick capture of a discussion page. So people will create a section header, and then they'll say something. This article has a lot of claims, and then you'll sign it, and the date and time and who said it, and then discussions will kind of go from there. Page history. If you click on the history tab of a page, you can see every single change that has ever been made to that page, exactly when it was done, who did it, the exact time and date stamp, and then you can also get some other links. So you see these red links here. I don't know if this shows up on the slide. A red link is a name of someone who doesn't have a user page yet. So it's a big flag that this is probably a new user, possibly a SPA. But you can click on their contributes list and you can get more information. You can look, do they have thousands of edits? Do they only have 5 edits on just this one article? And so you can get a sense there. Some people will just scan articles constantly to see who made the last change, and if they don't like it, then they can just undo it. They can revert it and go back to an older version of the article. Also, you can look at each change. So this red link made this change, so you could look at it and you can see exactly the difference between the old version of the article and the new version. Very simple to change. Very simple to see. So the cultural expectations, this is one of the common things, that there's a politician talking and someone in the audience holding up a big sign saying, citation needed. that's a common wiki thing, because you go to articles and you see these citation needed all the way down. According to the wiki culture, the wiki policies, you know, WPV, verifiability, every single thing that goes into Wikipedia must be attributed to a source. Wikipedia is not for posting things that people know. Even if a UFO landed outside on the street and we got pictures of it and we uploaded to Wikipedia saying a UFO just landed in Atlanta, it would get deleted. It would get deleted as original research, saying we cannot write about a UFO landing in Atlanta until someone else, like a newspaper, has written about a UFO landing, and then we can put on Wikipedia, according to the Atlanta Journal or Constitution or whatever, then a UFO landed in Atlanta. Now, there are other things. If there is a ongoing news, there's another Wikimedia project called WikiNews, and there new information can go. But as far as the encyclopedia, Wikipedia goes, only information that has already been printed in other reliable sources. You can't use a blog. You can't use a blog as a source. You can't use a message board as a source. Another cultural expectation is no spam. The culture is very, very anti-spam, very anti-advertising. And conflict of interest edits, COI edits, is another big thing in the culture. So if someone works for a company, they are not supposed to go in and edit the article about that company. And Virgil Griffith, who I think has been at Dragon Con from time to time, he wrote a wonderful program called WikiScanner, where you can go in and you can look at the IP range of a particular company and see which articles that they've been editing on Wikipedia. So it's a great way to kind of root out some of the conflict of interest edits. So a little bit about game theory. I go to the Game Developers Conference, and there's huge debates about what is a game. And so these are elements that I use, but other people might use a different definition. But my definition of what a game is that it's a structured or a semi-structured activity. It's fun and or educational, and it has certain core elements. It has goals. It has rules. It has challenge. And it has interactivity. So you can kind of look at anything from solitaire to World of Warcraft, and you're going to find some of these same elements. Also elements of games, it's something immersive. It's something that once you're doing it, that's where you're paying your attention. It's going to have some sort of conflict. It's going to have a competition element. Maybe you're competing against another player. Maybe you're competing against yourself. Maybe you're competing against the rules of chance. Multiplayer games also have their own elements. They're social. They can be cooperative or competitive, but even the cooperative games are still going to have certain common goals that these cooperating players are trying to achieve. They're extremely interactive, and they're available all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And multiplayer games are also generally a virtual world. You go in, and again, you get the sense of immersion, and it's emotionally engaging. If your emotions aren't engaged, it's going to be boring. Now, massively multiplayer games have certain themes within them. You get a character. You want to advance that character in certain ways. There are social classes. And the immersive virtual world. And there will be groupings. Any kind of large game, after it gets above a certain size of players, they're going to start subgrouping into various things. Maybe it's going to be by a profession. Maybe it's going to be by a certain area that they hang out in. There will be quests within these games as people want to achieve this long-term goal. And there's loot. There's treasure. There has to be something you achieve. And there's status indicators. It might be that you really want to have that black shiny shield or the cool sword, or you want to have the jewelry, or you'll see something that only high-level players can wear, and then people will covet that. They will want that. And in all the games that I've been involved with, I've been amazed how quickly that the players will identify the resources in the game, and they'll identify the scarce resources, and those scarce resources will suddenly become incredibly valuable. It might be a weapon. It might be armor. If there's a series of potions, white, green, red, yellow, and purple, and all of the potions are distributed in the same quantity through the game except for the purple potion, where there's only 10% of the purple potions, but there's 90% of everything else, those people will want purple potions just because it's a scarce resource that they want to have. So it's a status indicator. So between Wikipedia and multiplayer games, well, players in a game on Wikipedia, we have the editors. Rooms in a game are articles. Articles are definitely gathering areas. Game masters to administrators. Experience points in a game, edits on Wikipedia. Awards, treasure in a game. Also, we have barn stars on Wikipedia. And then guilds in a game, and we have wiki projects, ways that people gather. griefers in a game. Griefers are players who go out just to antagonize other players. In Wikipedia, we have them too. Generally, they're not called griefers. Generally, they're called vandals or trolls. In a game, we have combat, and on Wikipedia, we have combat. We have what's called new article patrol. We have vandal fighting. We have POV warriors, point of view warriors. And often an article will be vandalized many, many times per day, and an editor will just sit on the article waiting for someone to vandalize it so they can revert it. It becomes like a big game of whack-a-mole as you want to pop these things as they show up. So we have pubs, talk pages. In games, we have what's called newbie killing, meaning people that will just camp outside the place where new players come in and kill them because these guys have no ways of defending themselves. On Wikipedia, we have what's called bite, WP bite, which means don't antagonize the new editors. We want to encourage new editors. We don't want to block them on site. And there are some experienced editors who do feel that, okay, we've got enough editors now, we don't want any more. And other editors, such as myself, saying, no, we want to encourage more new editors coming in. It's a constant flow. And then we have stats in a game, and we have edit distribution on Wikipedia. This is an example of edit distribution that shows for a particular user, for myself, in the different namespaces that I've edited, and how many edits I've done in each one of these namespaces. There's this average edits per page, 1.54, is sort of like a baseball statistic. So some people will try to get the lowest number there that they can to show that of their edits, they're working on as many different pages as possible. If you have a high score, like 20 or 30, it shows that you tend to kind of camp on certain articles, which some people like, and others say, no, that's spa behavior, that's single-purpose account behavior. This is another way of seeing stats. This is by month, showing how many edits going per month. The green versus the red is whether or not someone is using an edit summary, and saying kind of a little one-line thing saying what you did on that edit. So if a red means this person didn't use an edit summary, and green means they've been good, they've used edit summaries all the time. This is other stats, again, by main space. So you can look at something and say, okay, in main space, which is the article space, and the different articles this editor has worked on, and how many edits they've done on each one of these articles. So this person has done 307 edits on the Knights Templar article. And you can quickly look to see where someone spends time. So if you're trying to get information on someone, you look at what are the top links in each one of these namespaces, and you can go look, why are they spending so much time there? Are they in a dispute? Is there a problem of some sort? Contribution list, again, any editor on Wikipedia, you can click on this and you can see exactly where they are spending time. Each edit that they've made, the time they did it, the date they did it, which article that they did it to, or which talk page or wherever, and you can click on diff and see exactly which change that they made. So it's something to keep in mind also if anyone gets into a dispute on Wikipedia and you say something in the heat of anger at that moment, it is permanent. It will never go away. So 2 years from now, you may get involved in a dispute and say, oh, well, you said so-and-so 2005, or you cursed, you used a bad word. So keep in mind that anything you put on Wikipedia is permanent. Some other high score lists on Wikipedia. We have these lists of Wikipedians by number of edits, by featured article nominations. This is probably the highest status thing that you can do on Wikipedia, is get an article to featured status. And having an article that gets to featured status and stays there is the highest status thing that you can do. So someone can say, I have 2 FAs, I have 3 FAs. Barn stars, these are given between editors. One editor will give them to another editor, and they have no official standing behind them, so someone could just give 10 barn stars for no reason, but people still like them and like to banner them on their page. Each person on Wikipedia, the established editors, tend to have a user page where they talk about just a few paragraphs, who they are, what is their wiki philosophy, which articles are they most proud of having worked on. This is another user page, and here you see this guy likes user boxes, where he says which languages that he understands, how many edits he has, this user, I think, integrates Wikipedia, has contributed to 13 featured articles, and there's hundreds and hundreds of different user boxes. Someone can go in and say, I live in Wisconsin, I like eating sushi, I play the piano, and it's a way that people use to identify themselves. It's also kind of a quick way to get an idea of someone's real-world age, because it's very loose structure, but the more user boxes that someone has on their user page, probably the younger that they are. It's almost like Boy Scout merit badges. So an older user may have, you know, very, just talk about which languages they speak and cut it. And if someone just has like, you know, 50, 75 user boxes, they're probably a teenager. This is recent changes. You can click on recent changes on the left-hand side of the page, and this will show you all the changes that have been made to Wikipedia, to the English version of Wikipedia, or whichever language that you're in at that moment. And I don't know if you can see it here, but this is the time of these changes, so 4:39, 4:38, and all the rest of these are 4:38. So all of these changes were being made in the same minute on Wikipedia. And there are people, what's called recent changes patrollers, who will just sit on here and click recent changes, and they'll review each one of these changes. Was it vandalism? Was it not vandalism? And do they need to fix anything? Do they need to warn anyone? Do they need to block anyone? And then they click refresh, and they get another batch of recent changes, and they go through, and then they click refresh, and they go. And it, you get into a set of flow. It's almost an addictive thing, because you can do it as long as you want. It's a constant 24/7. It never stops. Recent changes aside, you can also, and this is another addictive thing, is what's called a watch list. So you can pick certain articles that you want to keep an eye on, and you can refresh your watch list, and you can see what's the last thing that someone did to that article. I edited that article. Did someone else change that article? What did they do? And this can also become very addictive. And there's a thing where this particular thing, this person has 1,900 pages on the watch list. I think I'm up to 3,800 pages. And every so often I'll just go and I'll delete 1,000 articles off my watch list because it just becomes impossible to watch all of them. But it is a very addictive thing. So in games, we talk about this thing that's called a state of flow, where you get involved in a game, and we define flow as you have the sense of absorption. And to get into flow, it means that there's been a nice balance between what the task is and the challenge of it. If there's too much challenge, if it's too hard, that breaks the flow. You think, I'm not interested in this anymore. It's too difficult to do. If it's too easy to do, it's boring. I'm paper pushing. I don't want to do this anymore. So there has to be this kind of nice balance. And a good game will have several different tasks available because different people will have different aspects of what kind of difficulty that they like. So a good game might have 12 different things that you can choose, and people will choose which tasks they want that meets their need for flow at that moment. And it's going to be a clear goal, and there's going to be something achievable, like I have blocked a vandal, or I have fixed this article. Flow also involves a focused attention on the activity instead of yourself, and you get this immediate feedback. You change something, and then you can check, did someone else edit this article? Flow also involves a distortion of time. So if anyone has played certain games, Civilization, Sid Meier's Civilization is a good example of this, or various multiplayer games where you get into it, you start playing it, and time just goes like that. Hours go by, you see it's sunset, you're not sure if it's sunset or sunrise. You know, programmers will get this as well, when you get into that zone of programming and you just completely lose track of the world. Wikipedia can engender that sense of flow where you just lose track of time. So Wikipedia community, there's user types. Just like in a game, you have professions and classes, fighters, rangers, thieves. Also in Wikipedia, we have inclusionists and deletionists, people that want to, you know, say any article that comes in, Wikipedia isn't paper, keep it. And deletionists say, no, delete it on site. And there's this constant battle between the two. We have the vandal fighters. We have what's called the wiki gnomes. And those are the people, they're good gnomes. And they just like making little changes on Wikipedia. They don't want reward. They don't want status. They just like being in the background and fixing all the little things that need fixing. We have mediators, administrators, bureaucrats, arbitrators. Also, we have the division between the people who are writing the articles and the vandal fighters, the new article patrollers, copy editors, and then we have the bad guys. We have the trolls, we have the POV, the point of view warriors, the vandals, sock puppets. Sock puppets are the people that will create multiple accounts, right? And sometimes they'll get so into these sock puppets, they'll actually have discussions between themselves and their own sock puppets on a talk page to try and build this illusion of consensus, saying, well, we three think that the article should be this way, but you know, it's only one person who's doing it. So there's this entire section of Wikipedia for tracking down sock puppets and doing something called check user. And certain users can go in and actually look at the IP address and see what all these three sock puppets are coming from the same IP address, and they're using the same version of Windows. And then we'll block them. And so we have large sections of the community that do nothing but sock checks. Then we have Edit Warriors, 3RR. 3RR is one of the few hard and fast, solid rules in Wikipedia. It's three reverts are allowed, three revisions. And you can't, sometimes people will battle over an article and they'll revert. And then someone else comes along and say, I don't like your revert. I'm going to revert back. And they say, no, I don't like your version. Let's go back to my version. Revert. And they revert back and forth, back and forth. And we say, okay, three reverts in 24 hours, you're blocked. We block the account access. So we have a whole page of Wikipedia called 3RR where people are just reporting saying this person went over three reverts per day. This person went over. And administrators go in and block. The person's blocked for a day or two or maybe a week. And then they come in and maybe they start edit worrying again. And then they get blocked again. And so there again we have this constant battle, the conflict. And this conflict is one of the things that makes Wikipedia interesting for some people. Without the conflict, they wouldn't want to spend time in the community. And then we have, at last, I have the owners, WP Own. And these are people who write an article, and it may be a good article, and then they camp on it. And they say, it's my article, no one can change it. And anyone that comes along and wants to change, even a little thing, the owner will say, nope, mine, you can't change it unless you go through me first. And this is a violation of Wikipedia policy, and we will block owners because Wikipedia is the encyclopedia that anyone can edit. Then there's the vandals, and a vandal is not, some people misuse the word vandal to say a vandal is anyone who makes a change that is bad, but that's not a vandal. A vandal is someone who makes a change that is deliberately trying to disrupt the encyclopedia. They're inserting profanity. They're blanking a page. They're replacing the image of a biography with a picture of a phallic image or something. Those are the vandals. And some of them are very, very creative vandals. I dealt with one a few weeks ago where a vandal changed a template that was used as an include file in something that the new page patrollers were doing. So the new page patrollers were going through and looking for vandalism, and if they saw vandalism, they pressed a button that said, okay, revert this and warn the user. And the warning came from this include file. So every time the new article patroller said, warn the user, it put an image of a penis on the editors who had made the change. So it was very creative vandalism that caused the new page patrollers to actually be inserting vandalism, and three different new page patrollers got blocked until we figured out the problem with the include file. Really, sorry, really convoluted story, but it was an interesting, why are these new page patrollers getting blocked? What's going on? So, all right. I told you a bit about what a SPA is, very few edits. They often show up at deletion debates. Then we have our sock puppets, one user creating multiple accounts. Sometimes sock puppets are okay. For example, some people create accounts that are using their own name, and they might want to go edit an article on politics, and they don't want their name to be on that article because it might come back to bite them later. Or maybe they want to go edit an article about a porn star, and they don't want to associate it. So it's okay to have multiple accounts if you keep them separate. You're just not supposed to, it's called don't cross the streams. Don't put them on the same page. Okay. When it's done abusively, it's one of the worst offenses on Wikipedia. Then we have what I call, and Jimbo Wales calls, the moths. And they are drawn to flames. They're drawn to the flame wars. So if an article is under dispute, these moths come fluttering in and, you know, poking their noses and their wings into the debate. Sometimes it's a good thing, because if you have a really controversial subject and the moths come all fluttering in, it can be good because you're getting more eyes onto it and it becomes easier to figure out what the consensus is. The downside is that if there is a battle or an edit war, the moths may actually make it worse because they love conflict and they want to keep stirring the pot. So administrators will go in and will deal with these issues. We have several million editors on Wikipedia. About 1,500 of them on the English Wikipedia are admins right now. I am one of them. We have tools. Very few tools, actually. We can block and unblock users. We can delete and undelete pages. We can see deleted histories. Every so often, an edit will be removed from a history that even regular editors can't see, but we can go in and we can look at that. And a deleted page, we can go in and look at those, and we can protect and unprotect to keep an article from being edited. Administrators are promoted via community discussion. It has to be a consensus of the community that someone is acceptable to be an administrator. And there's probably about 7 or 8 administrator discussions going on at any one time. Now, the perception, and I talked about this, the perception is that administrators are senior academics. Not true. Most of the administrators are going to be students. Many of them are children, some professionals, some attorneys and teachers. A lot of them aren't even writers. They're not even on Wikipedia. They're not article writers. Instead, they're just people that enjoy the new article patrol. They enjoy the vandal fighting. So Wikipedia is a young community, and I see it making some of the same problems that young game communities have made. One of the problems is that there's very little administrator oversight, and so problems will occur, and there's just no administrator there to deal with it. And so problems will grow and fester, and you get almost into kind of a Lord of the Flies political exercise, as like, if people, how many people here have read Lord of the Flies? Okay, about, you know, children left on an island, and they kind of devolve into this very crude community, arguing about who has the conch, who has the shell, who has the power to speak. And it's an unfortunate part of Wikipedia. So sometimes you'll go into somewhere and you'll suddenly be attacked by what seems like 12 editors who are attacking everything that you do, even though you don't feel that you've done anything wrong. And often it's not something that you did. It's because you've wandered into the crossfire of one of these team battles that's going on within Wikipedia. Another problem on Wikipedia is that the policies are being enforced very haphazardly. Policies are more likely to be enforced on new users and not on the established editors. There's an old boy network that has been established, and these things are very, very hard to break. It's one of the things that I'm working on, which means, of course, that a bunch of the old boys are coming after me and are now trying to eject me from Wikipedia. If you go to my talk page right now on Wikipedia, there's dozens of editors right now that are trying to eject me from Wikipedia. They want me to resign as administrator, not because I did anything wrong. None of them has a single piece of evidence that I did anything wrong. They just, well, we don't trust her anymore. And so they're trying to get rid of me that way. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I'm not resigning. Okay. And so then they're going to what's called the arbitration committee and trying to get the arbitration committee to get rid of me. And the committee is saying, what did she do wrong? And again, there's nothing. And some of them are also trying to contact Jimbo Wales and saying, get rid of Ilanka. And Jimbo is saying, what did she do wrong? And, well, she didn't do anything, but we don't like her. And it's a nasty society there. So some of the administrators also, their problem, do behave irresponsibly, and they'll hand out favors to other editors. Somebody is edit warring over an article, and a new user comes in and tries to insert something, and so the first old boy editor will go to administrator and say, block the new user, and the administrator will go and block the new user. And so again, if you run into one of these problems, be aware of this. Be aware of this culture that's going on. Okay, so going on to what's called quests within Wikipedia, promoting an article's level is just like in a game you promote a character's level. Within Wikipedia, you promote an article's level. Getting it to featured status is a very high indicator of status within the community. Right now, within the English Wikipedia, over 2.5 million articles, we have articles that's what's called good status at about 4,800 articles, and then featured status, we have about 2,200. It's a big time commitment, takes months to do it. If you want to do it, you have to write the article, format it according to the manual of style, put in a ton of citations, find good free use images, and also be prepared to jump through political hoops, because there is, again, the political environment. If people don't like you, they'll vote against the article just because they don't like you. And it's again, nasty political thing. Still, many featured articles are getting promoted on a regular basis. I'd say we get about one new featured article per day. And yeah, kind of went through that. Another quest is finding free use images. Images are getting uploaded to Wikipedia at a rapid rate. We get about 2,700 new images uploaded per day, of which about 2,300 get deleted on site. Because it's a licensing thing. People will upload an image that they just got off the web. They won't say where they got it from. They won't say what the license is. They won't say who owns it. And these images will just get deleted very rapidly. If you want to upload an image and it is your image, you own it, we would love to have it on Wikipedia. The thing to do, and it's a very complex system, but the thing to do is when you upload the image, you want to choose a license for it. There are three licenses that you can choose. I'm not sure if I have them. No, I didn't have a slide for it. But the three licenses, you can put it in public domain, you can put it in GFDL, or you can put it on what's called CC by SA, Creative Commons by Shared Attribution. I recommend CC by SA. It means you retain copyright, you retain ownership of the image, but you also authorize the image for reasonable purposes, such as on the web. So if you upload an image, there's a little drop-down, just choose one of those, public domain, GFDL, or CC by SA, or write to me and I'll talk you through it. I've helped dozens and dozens of people get images uploaded to Wikipedia or to the Commons. So, advice. If you're citing Wikipedia, like you're writing a research paper, and you want to use a Wikipedia article as a source, well, first, be careful, because these articles change very rapidly. You may be using an article that was just vandalized 5 minutes earlier. So, if you want to cite an article, don't cite, just say, you know, if you want the Knights Templar, don't say, I got this from the Knights Templar article. Cite what's called the permanent link, which, and this number will give you the exact link to the article at the second that you are viewing the article. And you can use that citation. And that way you can go back and look at it and say, that's the moment I looked at it. There's even a link on Wikipedia, cite this article. You click that, it'll give you the exact URL, and it'll even put it into a citation format for you with the page name, author, publisher, and you can choose which style of reference citation that you want to use. If you want to, okay, here I have adding an image, and again, we have you can do public domain or GFTL or what's called CC by SA. So if you want to participate on Wikipedia, number one, create a user page, create an identity, build trust within the community, maintain a good civil demeanor, because remember, anything you say can be used against you at a later time. Participate in multiple topics. Don't show that you're a single user, a single participation editor. And help out. Just click on random. There's a link called Random Article. Just click on Random Article a few times. Generally, I click within five clicks, I found something that needs to be fixed. Or go to one of the cleanup categories, saying these articles desperately need cleanup or formatting fixes. Do be bold. If you see something that you think needs changing, go in and change it. Don't worry about it. The worst that can happen is it gets reverted. Do cite your sources as much as possible. Don't worry about, there's a very elaborate site formatting system for citations. Don't worry about getting it perfect. Just say, I got this from this book or this newspaper, and someone else will probably come along and fix the citation. And do build social networks within other Wikipedians. Get your name known among others, and that will help as well. If you see something, fix it. If you see something wrong, if you see something that looks and you don't know where it came from, you can delete it on site. Anything unsourced can be removed. Or you can add what's called a fact tag to it, which is within curly brackets the word fact, and that'll put that little citation needed on it. And then if you see something that has a citation needed and you think it's wrong, just delete it. No one's going to complain if you delete unsourced information. Especially if you're reading an article about that's a biography about someone who's living, a living person. We have what's called the BLP policy, Biographies of Living People. Very powerful policy on Wikipedia. If you see something wrong in an article about a living person, delete it on site. Don't argue about it. Just get rid of it. And it will be supported. Just say BLP. If you have an article about yourself, and I know no one raised their hands there, but if you have an article about yourself on Wikipedia and there's wrong information, just go in and fix it. Just go in and change it. If it's missing information about you, though, it's probably not a good idea to add it yourself. Instead, go to the talk page and put it there and say, could someone please add the following information? So dealing with conflict on Wikipedia, we're almost done here, but dealing with conflict on Wikipedia, we have what's called the WPDR page, which is dispute resolution page, where we have a lot of advice for how to deal with these things. The main thing to keep in mind is that no one's going to come in and make a ruling on which way the article is going to be. Articles are developed by community consensus. And if it's impossible to reach agreement on should the article say A or B, then put both into the article. And try to do it with it's something called a neutrality policy, the undue weight policy. If there's multiple ideas about something, try to put all the ideas into the article with appropriate weight to each one according to the significance of that particular view, according to modern historians or modern researchers or modern academics. Do be polite as much as possible and learn the policies. So BLP, Biographies of Living People, WPV, Verifiability, and NOR, No Original Research, which is if the UFO landed on the street outside and we wrote it, that would be called original research. It would be deleted on site. And don't revert war. If you want to find out about revert wars, we have there's another site called WikiRage, which is a wonderful site that keeps track of all the edit wars that are going on Wikipedia at any particular time. So when I got this, and this was just a couple hours in my hotel room, the Bedford, New Hampshire article is currently at the top of the list in the last hour is the most edit wars going on right now. I didn't check to see how many people are participating in it. Often this happens because this article is a featured article on the main page, which means vandals pour into the page. But sometimes as an administrator, I'll go in and I'll scan this page to see where the battle's going on, and then I'll try to jump in and help. Okay, so dispute resolution, consensus. If you have a conflict, engage on the article talk page. Engage if you're having a disagreement with a user, go to their talk page and say what your concerns are. Build consensus. If necessary, file a request for comment, which brings other editors into the mix. You can also request mediation or arbitration. Arbitration, though, is not for content. It's only for conduct. You can't request arbitration for how an article should be written. You can request arbitration for how someone else is behaving. Current controversies on Wikipedia. Image licensing is always a big one. What is fair use? When can an image be used without a proper license just because it's a popular image? There's also a current battle about television shows. Wikipedia has articles for some shows on every single episode of every show. Every episode, every character, every spaceship, Pokemon. You know, we've got articles on every single little Poke Buddy, which is embarrassing because we're missing a lot of, you know, medieval Turkish monarchs, but we have articles on every Pokemon. So there's arguments. People say we shouldn't have an article on every single television episode. However, people will write about what they're interested in. And they're not interested in medieval Turkish monarchs. They are interested in Star Wars and Star Trek and any new TV show that comes up. So You Think You Can Dance, every dancer. Another big battle going on right now is ethnic conflicts. And I could probably speak an hour just on this because in January, ARBCOM created a committee called the Wikipedia Working Group on Ethnic and Cultural Edit Wars on Wikipedia. They chose 15 people to be on the committee. I was one of them. And we spent 6 months just looking at this problem, which is even though there's Wikipedias in each of the different languages, English is the common language of the world. And so we'll have editors coming in from Hungary and Slovakia that will be battling over the articles about Hungarian and Slovakian topics. There's a lot of little towns in Eastern Europe that at one point they belong to Hungary, another to Slovakia, or the Israeli editors will come in and the Palestinian editors will come in. And they will engage in some major, major battles on Wikipedia with incredibly ugly tactics, harassment and attacking people off Wiki as well, going after them, trying to eject people with opposing opinions off of their articles. They'll create what's called tag teams, where they'll camp on an article and they'll create these illusions of consensus because of the number of they're not sock puppets, but they'll be going off Wiki. Or religious cults will do this as well. If we try to change an article about a religious cult, and they'll put the word out to all the members, the cult members, and these members will all come in from different computers, from different IP addresses, to try and force that their Swami is the number one whatever in the world. And it's a real problem on Wikipedia, and it's one of the things that we don't have a handle on yet, but it's something that we're working on. Images of Muhammad was a big dispute recently because according to Islam, it is blasphemous to present an image of Muhammad. Even if it's a respectful image of Muhammad, it's still blasphemous. And there have been off-wiki polls of hundreds of thousands of signatures, people trying to say, Wikipedia, please remove all images of Muhammad from Wikipedia. And then there's Wikipedians who say, well, no, Wikipedia is not censored. We can provide what we want. And then there's some others who are saying, okay, well, we can provide images of Muhammad, but let's do it in a respectful way. Let's not put it into someone's face. And then there's battles saying, no, Wikipedia isn't censored, and well, let's be respectful. We don't care. And it goes back and forth. Another controversy right now that I know a lot about is administrator recall, which is once someone is an administrator, what needs to be done to remove administrator access from that person? Is it only for misuse if they misuse the tools? Is it because they may have lost the community confidence since it was a community discussion that got them promoted? What needs to happen to remove an administrator? And that's one of the current battles right now. So if you see something on Wikipedia and it's an urgent problem, fix it. Just delete it, change it on the spot. If someone keeps reverting you, you can go to what's called the Administrator Notice Board for incidents. It's WPANI, and you can post for help saying, help, I need an administrator at this page right now. You can also go into IRC on Freenode. There's a couple of Wikipedia channels there. You could also just pick up the phone, call the Wikipedia main office, though they get a lot of phone calls, and they get like threats of lawsuits every day. Why didn't you have an article on my pizza parlor? It got deleted. It's a constant phone ringing over there. There's also some mailing lists, the Wikipedia EN mailing list, and you can post for help there. So, summary. Wikipedia, it has all the hallmarks of an online game community. It has conflict, it has professions, it has status, it's all there. If you use Wikipedia as a source, don't use it as a primary source. Take it with a grain of salt. Be aware that anything there may have been changed like seconds before you read that page. You can click on the history and you can look to see if the page has been changed recently. But Wikipedia is a good jumping off point, especially with the citing sources. You can go to a page and look at the sources at the bottom of the page. Right there you have a good collection of where else you can read to get more information. If you get into a dispute, be aware that it's not going to be decided by an authority coming in and making a decision. It's going to be decided by consensus. So build those networks. Talk to other people. Try and figure out where the compromise is. If you want to participate on Wikipedia, create an identity and edit multiple articles. Try to show that you're there to help with the entire project, not just with something in a narrow focus area. If you want to contact me, I'm happy to answer questions. I do this all the time. I'm on AIM. You can write to me at Ilonka@AOL.com. My user page is user:Ilonka on Wikipedia, and you're welcome to leave a message on my talk page. And that's it. Thank you. So, any questions? Yes.
You don't have a lot of time, but you're pretty familiar with a particular topic, so that you can edit articles along that topic. Now all of a sudden you're an SPA.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a bad thing?
Okay, so the question is, if you're an expert on a certain topic and you want to edit an article about that topic and that makes you a SPA, a single purpose account, is that a bad thing?
Multiple articles in that range.
Or multiple articles within the topic range. Yes, it's both. It depends. If you're editing the article and there's no dispute, and you're just going it. Say you're an expert on mathematics, and you're going in and you're editing articles on mathematics. You're adding information. Yes, you're a SPA, but it's not a bad thing. You're helping the project, and no one is disagreeing with the information that you're adding. Where the issue comes up is if there is a conflict and if there is a disagreement, then the fact that you are a SPA will lessen the authority of your voice. And sorry.
It seems a little wacky.
Hell yes. Wikipedia has a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of double standards, a lot of situations that are not fair. We have situations where we have PhDs who are unfortunately arguing with 12-year-olds about how to deal with a particular article, and where the 12-year-olds will gain the upper hand because they're on Wikipedia 24 hours a day. They have no lives, and they're just there to just post over and over and over, whereas the PhD has got other things to do, and they don't really care that much. So
what are they doing to fix that?
Okay, so what are they doing to fix that? That's what's going into what we call the dispute resolution procedure. So the best thing, if it's this extreme case of a PhD arguing with two or three 12-year-olds, the best thing that the PhD can do is, number one, stay calm. Be aware that you're not arguing with other academics, that you're arguing with children. Number two, do what's called a request for comment, which means that you're asking other members of the community to come in and to offer their own opinions about what's going on. But the number one thing I can do is stay calm. Because as soon as you lose your temper, the 12-year-olds are just going to say, aha, it's a vandal. Aha, it's a troll. Look, he's cursing. So stay calm, request comment from other editors, and take the long view. Take the eventualism view. Some people get very wrapped up in an article saying, oh my God, it's wrong today. We have to fix it now. And no, often these 12-year-olds, and I'm using 12-year-olds in a very broad sense, but often these kids they'll be the moths, and they'll just be paying attention to an article for a week, and then they're going to lose interest and they're going to move on. And over the long run, maybe if there's a battle over the article and you can't get it the way you want it because the kids are battling, write it off, go work on something else, come back in a month, 2 months, fix it. It's And take the eventualist view is thing. And reach out. If you have a problem, call me. You know, send me an IM. Say, what can I do with this page? And I'll give you advice about how to do it. Also, be aware, sometimes it's the reverse. Sometimes there are some very, very bright 12-year-olds who are writing really good articles. And someone will come in and say, I'm a PhD. You're doing it wrong. And they'll go to the PhD and say, well, okay, what are your sources? And the PhD says, well, I don't need to provide sources. I just know it's wrong. And this happens all the time. And no, if a PhD is someone who says they have a PhD is in there, they should know sources. If they don't know sources, how did they get their PhD? So you have to provide sources. And often the kids, they will have library cards. They log onto their library website. They're very good. They can do LexisNexis searches. They can go into, just EBSCO or Gale or any of these virtual libraries. And some of these kids do amazing, amazing work. So you really have to look at as an administrator, when I go in and I look at a conflict, I'm going to look at the first thing I do is I look at the history of the people who are editing. And are they editing articles, or are they kind of bouncing from dispute to dispute? And if they're just going from, if they're moths, if they're just going from page to page to argue, then I'll kind of lessen what they're saying. I'll look to see who's arguing from sources and who's arguing from personal knowledge. I'll look to see who's keeping their temper. But that's not a 100% indicator, because sometimes you can have a really good editor who's just been goaded into a state of incoherence by these kids that are coming at them. So just because someone is cursing doesn't mean that they're wrong. But I will try to kind of calm things, and then I'll really try and get people to focus on the sources. People will also get into these battles where they completely lose track of the article. They'll go, well, I think that the world is flat. No, the world is round. No, the world is flat. Well, you're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. And we're like, okay, what are your sources? Do you have a source saying the world is flat? And what is the source? And this battle has already been debated. And there's a whole page called WP Lame, which is the lamest edit wars ever on Wikipedia. And like, what is the exact diameter of the Death Star? There were people that were revert warring about this for months. There's nothing else about what is, and so goes on WP Lame. So be aware of that as well. If you're working on an article and you're arguing about something that's just really trivial, let it go. Go work on something else. There's over 2.5 million articles on Wikipedia. There's other things that will benefit from your attention. Okay, question there.
I'd like you to dimensionalize reliable sources. You kind of touched on this with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but for instance, take the Paul Hamm Olympic gold medal conflict of a U.S. athlete who got a gold medal, but apparently it came at the sacrifice of a South Korean gold medalist. Do you have individuals who will look at the South Korean Wikipedia and cross-reference that with the English version and that type of thing? And in addition to that, I'd like to know your thoughts on how the community who doesn't have access to the internet at all is handled in terms of reliable sources.
Okay. Long question. Let me see if I can condense it, which is about trying to define what is and isn't a reliable source. What do we do when we have a situation where there's one version of the article in English and maybe another version of the article in Korean? Do we do any cross-referencing when there's differences like that? I'll try and take this one part at a time. A reliable source within Wikipedia is defined as something that has been published by a reliable publishing house that has preferably the best kind of sources are those that have been peer reviewed, or it's some sort of publisher that has a history of fact checking and accuracy. So just because someone publishes a handwritten newsletter doesn't necessarily make it a reliable source. However, there are situations where we might allow that as a source if it might be something that someone said about themselves. So what I'm not familiar with the particular thing you're talking about with the Olympic athlete, but if someone had said something in their own newsletter or on their own blog, we might be able to source that on Wikipedia. If it was refuted by a reliable source, so someone publishes in their newsletter saying, I was born in 1965, and then the New York Times says, this person was born in 1963, we're probably going to take the biography subject's word of their birth date over the New York Times. We'll probably say it was an error in the New York Times. Now, if the New York Times says, well, he says he was born in 1965, but we checked it and he was really born in 1963, then what we'll do is we'll go to the article and we'll try and include both, saying, according to Joe Smith, he was born in 1965. However, according to the New York Times, and we'll quote it. We'll say, according to New York Times, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we'll even quote tabloid newspapers, especially when dealing with like soap opera characters. And we try to what's called attribute the source so that a reader can go in and decide for them, oh, this was written in the National Enquirer. That's interesting, but most people would know to take that with a grain of salt. In terms of comparing things between like the English Wikipedia and the Korean Wikipedia, generally not. The rule is that you cannot use another Wikipedia article as a source. So I'm not sure if I've ever seen that case where anyone has disputed and said, okay, the English Wikipedia said this, but it doesn't match the Korean Wikipedia. I mean, there's a language difficulty there, but say between if the English Wikipedia and the French Wikipedia said something different. Any Wikipedia, you can see all the languages down the left-hand column. So you can go to an article about the sun, and there will be 200 languages, Thai, Indonesian, Arapaho, or whatever. To my understanding, does anyone know of anyone saying the French Wikipedia says different, see here? I've never heard of that.
Take the Georgian conflict right now. If there's a
restaurant, oh, right. Yeah.
Take the Georgian version. If the two, for some reason, there's not a compromise involved there. And then the third part of my question was, how does Wikipedia address that whole segment of the population that has no access online? Is that handled through the sourcing process?
Okay. So the first part was what, in the case with the conflict in Georgia right now, where the Russian article is going to say one thing and the Georgia article is going to say something different. In those cases, they're going to say something different. And to my knowledge, there's not going to be any effort to make the English Wikipedia represent a blurring between the two. If anything, I'd say that's a good thing, because I'd enjoy that. Assuming that I spoke all the languages, I would enjoy reading the English Wikipedia and then click on the Russian and say, so what's the Russian take on this? And then click on the Georgian article, and then what's the Georgian take on this? And I would find that interesting. Just like when I go to news.google.com, wonderful source. If you've never been there, go to Google News. Thousands of different sources in English language. So you can click and say, okay, well, what are the Canadians saying about this? What are the Americans saying about this? And I find that useful to get a well-rounded view of a particular subject. In terms of people who don't have access, are you talking about reliable sources that are not online?
Starting with the underlying premise that Wikipedia takes the underlying truth or the knowledge of the population overall and finds wisdom in that in terms of the commonality of how we view issues.
I'm not understanding the question.
The wisdom of crowds is the underlying philosophy of Wikipedia as I see it, the wisdom of crowds. But from my perspective, there's a whole segment of crowds that don't have access
right.
to one. So how does that happen?
Okay, so the question is, we have a consensus on Wikipedia, but it's only the consensus of people that are on Wikipedia at that time, and it's not the consensus of people that don't have access to the internet. And are there cases where, therefore, the online consensus is not matching the consensus of population as a whole? And the answer is, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. In the case of the images of Muhammad, which is something I know a lot about, I think that's exactly what's going on. I think that if the population as a whole were to look at these things, for example, the article about the Kaaba, which is the Kaaba is the cubicle building at the center of Mecca. It is the center of the Islamic faith. All the Muslims who pray five times a day face the Kaaba. It's the holiest, it's the center. And each one has to make a visit to it on the Hajj at one point in their lifetime. So on the page of the Kaaba, we have an image of Muhammad. I personally disagree with that. I think that it is disrespectful to the Islamic faith to take the article about the holiest building in Islam and put something that they find blasphemous, which doesn't mean I think we should remove the image from Wikipedia as a whole. I think that we should use the image in other pages, just not necessarily on that page. We have a page on depictions of Muhammad. We have a page on other things that Muhammad has done. So I don't think we need to kind of rub that picture into people's faces. And I think that some people, in my opinion, there are some people who are anti-Islamic who like to keep that picture there. It's their way of kind of rebelling. But right now, Wikipedia runs on consensus, and the consensus is that Wikipedia is not censored and that the image should stay there. If people disagree, we have what's called CCC. Consensus can change. So if enough other people who are editors who care about that particular issue come to the page, we will rediscuss it and we will check to see if the consensus has changed. And at some point, my opinion, at some point that image will eventually be removed. Stripe shirt, yeah.
What would be some methods of convincing people of the usefulness of Wikipedia? I teach at a university, and I'm always, as a young member of, compared to the people who have been there for 30 years. I'm not even 30 yet.
You're a newbie professor.
And I often get a lot of flack for encouraging my students in my intro classes to use Wikipedia right. Like you said, a starting point. And I get a lot of flack from the old-timers who say that it's not, you can't trust anything from there. You can't rely on anything because people can go and change it. And, even pointing out some of the statistical study that have been done comparing the amount of errors in encyclopedia
mm-hmm. compared the Nature magazine study, right?
To Wikipedia. I mean, that still doesn't do anything to convince them. So have you had any success in taking some of the more conservative or older folks and convincing them that, yes, this is something that our students or people in general can get good use out of?
Okay, so to condense that for the recording, this is a question from a relatively young professor who is one of the professors who encourages his students to go to Wikipedia and at least to take it with a grain of salt, but to look at the sources on the page. And this professor is having trouble with the older professors who are basically poo-pooing Wikipedia and saying it's a bad source. And what arguments can be used for those older professors? I would say, it depends on the topic matter. It depends on the professor and how open-minded they are. I mean, I know some professors who are still anti-internet. One of my cousins has written a book, Guns, Germs, and Steel, which won the Pulitzer Prize. And he didn't use a computer to write it. He dictated the entire thing. I've seen his office. He does not have a computer in his office. But it's an amazing book, and the research he did was astonishing. And his point is that, yes, he could have access to the internet, but there's so much garbage on the internet that it's very difficult to sift through what's good and what isn't good. And so he finds it just saves time to just not go on the internet at all and just stick with the older ways of corresponding with other professors, and that way he knows that he can trust the information that he's getting. And he's got a good enough network that he can definitely do that. For those that do use the internet and do use Wikipedia, the first thing I would do is I would identify the professor that I was talking to and what was their field. Which field are you in, by the way?
Music.
Yeah, okay, you're in music. So you teach music history, music theory. I mean,
technology is basically what I've been teaching: music technology, mm-hmm. Music composition.
Okay. Okay. I would go to what's called the FA list, and I would look for articles about music and pick the good ones, because these articles have been through an elaborate review process. And I might show a couple of those to the senior professors. Also, what some professors are doing is they're setting up projects with their class and saying, okay, class, your project is to write an article on Wikipedia and get it to featured status. You have one semester, go. And it really teaches the students a lot about citing sources, because often the sources that are needed and the quality control methods that are needed are more stringent for Wikipedia than they might be for an actual class. And one teacher named, he's a Canadian professor named John Murray, Murray. He actually wrote an essay on Wikipedia, because he did that. He assigned his students this assignment. And then he wrote about what the process was like, about what did they learn, what were the roadblocks that they ran into. So I would recommend that you go and you read what he wrote and see how he dealt with the roadblocks that he had. You might also want to correspond with him directly. I think there's also a wiki project called Classroom Coordination, where editors will work with professors and deal with those things. There's also a whole page on Wikipedia about research studies, just dozens and dozens of research studies that have been done on Wikipedia. And these are formal published citation things, and you could maybe get some of those printed out in hard copy and show them to some of your senior associates. So and that's off the top of my head. You're welcome to send me, like I said, send me a message in IM, ask me questions, I'm happy to help. Okay? Yes.
I want to say I heard a while back, about Wikipedia trying to be work in conjunction with a major encyclopedia. I don't know if it was Britannica or not, but am I correct in hearing about this? Or if not, is that something that Wikipedia is trying to plan on doing in order to make the information more reliable and more credible? It's like a scholarly review type of process.
Okay, so the question is you heard a rumor that Wikipedia was working with a major encyclopedia to increase the reliability of some articles on, is that right?
Yeah, I want to say I've heard that. I think it may have been like a Yahoo article.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, they're in the process of possibly mm-hmm. a joint effort between
okay.
and everyone.
I personally haven't heard of it, but there's a lot of things going on Wikipedia that I haven't heard of. Even when I'm seeing the requests for admin-ship, and these are for editors who have been on Wikipedia for a couple years and have many thousands of edits, I often see names go by that I've never seen, ever. I mean, it's such an enormous project. It's sort of like on a university campus with 30,000 students, and they say, oh, have you heard of Professor Joe, who works on the other side of campus? I'm like, no, you know, even though we're all at the same university. I do know that there are some projects like Wikipedia 1.0, where there is an effort to collect a certain number of articles that are at a certain level of quality and say, okay, these are stable articles, and they put them on a CD, and they make them available to schools, saying, okay, these articles have been checked. There's also a project, and there's other projects on the web. There's a project called Veropedia, where someone is trying to do that, trying to take articles that are stable on Wikipedia and move them over to this other wiki, where you know if you go there, you know that these articles are in a stable format, and they have academics making the rulings on what the article, if there's a conflict between editors, the academics win. The 12-year-olds just don't even have a voice because they don't have degrees. Some people like that, some people don't like that. I personally don't like that because, as I was saying over here, I've talked to a lot of PhDs that are not that bright. I mean, they got a PhD somehow, but I say, show your sources, and they say, I don't have to, and right there, my opinion of them just plummets at that point. In terms of Wikipedia working with an actual hard copy project, I haven't heard that. Someone did some studies, though, about if Wikipedia were published, how big would it be? And it's actually not as big as you might think. The way I generally give an analogy is that if you were in like a university research library where they have just these huge shelves of books that are going on, and you stood in one aisle and you looked all the way down to the other wall, about half of that would be Wikipedia in one aisle. So hard copy research libraries are still better resources for many things than Wikipedia. But in terms of a summary of the world's knowledge, Wikipedia is an amazing resource. Okay. Any other questions?
You said that an admin can delete arbitrarily or for any reason an article.
I'll correct that, but go on.
Okay. Does that show up in the log about the article so you know that it, or does that totally flush everything out?
Okay. The question is, administrators, if they or can they delete an article for any reason, and what happens to the history of the article? Okay, so administrators, they can delete anything at any time. However, there are certain rules that they're supposed to follow. And most of the articles that they delete, it's fairly obvious to anyone else that looks at them that the article should have been deleted. In the cases where an administrator deletes an article that they should not have deleted, that if there's any question, if it's gray area at all, the article should not be deleted by the administrator. It should go through an AFD, an article for deletion discussion. The community should discuss it. However, some administrators get overzealous and they delete things that they probably shouldn't delete. And in that case, it can go to what's called DRV, deletion review, and there will be a community discussion of should this article have been deleted or not. In any case, when the article is deleted, there is a deletion log that shows everything that has been deleted ever. And all of the changes that were made to that article are still available for administrators to view when the article has been deleted. But they can easily be restored. And I was going to say one other thing about deletions. But it's all there. Nothing is deleted. And if, in the case of a DRV, if the community says that the article should not have been deleted, it is restored, and it all is as it was. It doesn't need to be recreated from scratch. It's all of its history is restored at the moment that the administrator deleted it. Does that answer your
question? No.
Okay. Any other questions?
If you have a crazy administrator, who slaps their hand, or is that even possible?
If you have a crazy administrator, who slaps their hand? It happens. It absolutely does happen. And that's something that we're talking about right now a lot, which is administrator recall. We had an administrator recently named Bedford is the most recent one. And Bedford misused his tools and was trying to get something on the main page that other administrators did not think should be on the main page. and Bedford was edit warring with other administrators, which he should not have done. And then he was saying very misogynistic things, since some of the other administrators were women. Then he went on to MySpace and said some extremely crude things. And the community said, you should no longer be an administrator. He argued, and Jimbo Wales came in and personally removed the administrator access, which Wales doesn't do very often. And generally, we don't like it when Wales intervenes because it's supposed to be a community thing. It's not supposed to be an authority thing. But every so often, Jimbo Wales will just come in and say, this is ridiculous. This goes. If Jimbo had not de-sysopped Bedford, what would have happened is that the community would have gone to the arbitration committee and would have said, Bedford needs to go. And Bedford is refusing to go. And the arbitration committee would have said, de-sysop him. And then a steward would have flipped the switch. And the bit would have been removed that way. In less extreme cases, an administrator, the normal process for a crazy administrator is that those who have concerns about what the administrator has done should go to the administrator's talk page and say, I have concerns that you use tools, and we provide a diff, an actual link to what the administrator did, and say, I have concerns that you did this, 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 and this. And then the administrator has the option to change it or to apologize or to explain why they did what they did. If a lot of people have concerns or the concerns are serious and the complainers can go to ANI, the Incidents Notice Board, and say, I have concerns about this administrator. They did this, 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 and this. And then the other administrators and more people in the community will discuss things about the admin. There might be a decision there that the guy or girl needs to have his what's called his bit, his administrator bit, removed. If ANI cannot resolve it, then they go to what's called an RFC, a request for comment user conduct, which is a larger, formal, people provide statements, other people endorse those statements. And then if there's a consensus that he should resign, and he doesn't resign, which makes him look really, really bad, then people would go to the arbitration committee and say, the community consensus is that this administrator should resign. He hasn't resigned. And ARBCOM at that point, if there's a real clear consensus, they'll probably agree with the community. And they'll say, flip the bit. And the steward will flip the bit. And the guy will lose administrator access. And this has happened several times over the course of Wikipedia history. Not necessarily in all those steps that I explained, but that's the long way. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we're good. It's a wrap. Sure.
I've covered it because I was running late. If I wake up one morning and there's some technology I'm aware of, and I notice that it's not showing up in the range of articles that I'm interested in, and think it ought to be added, how do you go from zero to adding something? It's not personal knowledge, it's in the industry.
So mm-hmm. I would find a source that talks about this, and then
you... Already in Wikipedia?
No, I would find a published source that talks about what you want to talk about. It could be a newspaper, magazine article, go to Google Scholar and get an article that way. And then just create an article. And put, if you create even just like a one-paragraph article and with a source, put a stub tag on it, and it's a start, and then you can just keep building from there.
Then you can edit. Then you go into edit. You build a stub, basically.
Mm-hmm. You can build a stub, or what you can do is you can go to an existing article that talks about that subject, and you can add a section, and then keep growing that section. And when that section gets large enough that it could support its own article, then you can cut it out and make a separate article. It's called spoking out, or doing what's called summary style.
I work for a foundation that does AEDs. We discovered it was easy to run around giving schools and people defibrillators, but the big issue was that bystanders don't necessarily know enough or comfortable enough in reaching over and grabbing one and so on.
Okay.
And in this case, I'm feeling that way where if I wanted to add something...
On defibrillators?
No, well, I wouldn't.
Well, Wikipedia, it's not a how-to guide, but you could definitely put a link at the bottom saying, here's a link to a web page. And what you're talking about, it might be better to have a web page.
History of it,
right, yeah.
Any subtopic. Mm-hmm. I was just feeling awkward about adding something in. Just
no, be bold. Be bold. Worst that happens is someone removes it, and then you can put it on a web page somewhere.
Especially if you go to the style sheet and get ready.
The style sheet.
I assume there's style rules. Mm-hmm. Is there a place to go to learn?
Yes, go to, there's, you can click on help right on the left side of the page. Sure.